And if you would turn to Luke, the first chapter, the title of this message is Being Extraordinary. Being Extraordinary. We're going to be in Luke 1, verses 28 through 48. So as you're going, I will begin to read. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found great favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary said. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zacharias' home and greeted Elizabeth, and Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and a baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice she proclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." You are extraordinary. You may not feel extraordinary. You may not, when you look in your mirror, look extraordinary. But God says you are extraordinary. Why can I say this? Because that's who we are. That's what God says we are. And you have to begin to believe the truth of what God is saying. What does it mean to be extraordinary? Simply, it means to be beyond what is usual or the norm. It is to be used for a special function or service. Are you extraordinary? According to this definition, all of us are. All of us are. And so, if the Word of God is true, and it is, and if the dictionary is true, and it has to agree with God, then it must be true. You and I are extraordinary people. Many look at Mary today and they say that she's extraordinary because of who she was. And I'm here to tell you, she was not extraordinary. She wasn't born again of the Spirit of God just yet. But she possessed four qualities that I believe each and every believer in Jesus Christ, which includes you and me, has, that she exhibited for us as an example to see that we are truly extraordinary people. And that we are to do extraordinary things for God. And that's what the season of Christmas is all about. That a humble teenage girl, she was 14 or 15 years of age, did something extraordinary to fulfill the will of God in her life. The truth is, in God's infinite wisdom, He has chosen you and me. He has chosen the simple, humble things of the world to confound the wise and to do awesome things. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:25-29. And the whole body of Christ, every person that is in Jesus Christ today, in the past, and who will be in the near future, were ordinary people until they came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and became born again. They, at that moment, became extraordinary. That's the truth. I was ordinary. I was just like everybody else in the world at that time. I was only looking to serve me. I was only looking to see what benefited me. I did things that were good for me. And Jesus did something that benefited the whole world because he is an extraordinary God. I believe that Mary had fears and apprehensions of what the angel was saying to her at the time. Can you imagine talking with an angel of God and the fear that would grip your heart? That the holy angel of God was in the presence of a sinful person, telling this sinful person something that was so incredulous. And yet this person agreed with that angel and said, "Be it unto me. Let it happen. Let it happen to me." What are these four things that makes us different than the rest of the world? What are these four things that Mary possessed to be an example to us so that we can begin to do the same things as Mary did extraordinarily? Mary was not a haphazard person that God just picked out of the thing. He chose her from the foundations to be the mother of his son. And that's extraordinary. That he's known you and me even before we were a thought in his mind. That's extraordinary. So let's look at Mary in a different light today. Let's look at what she had and what I believe is in each and every one of us in order for us to begin to become that from ordinary to extraordinary people of God. First of all, I believe she wanted to do God's will. That's according to verse 38, because she said, "Be it unto me, the handmaiden of the Lord." By faith, she agreed with the angel, and it was done. And we know that through the historical accounts or the biblical accounts that Zechariah, her cousin, who went into the temple, didn't believe the angel when the angel said that his wife was going to have a baby. And because of his unbelief, God made him so that he could not speak until the day that John was born. And the first word that he said was, "His name is John." That's extraordinary. That's a miracle. And here's a woman, a teenager, 15, 16 years of age, says, "I believe. I believe that God is able. I believe that you're an angel of God, and I believe that he wants to do something so extraordinary with me that I'm agreeable to that." And she moved on her faith, and God performed the miracle of the virgin birth. When she went to share this good news with Elizabeth, she exhibited such enthusiasm that she said in verses 46 and 47, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She was enthusiastic about God using her. She was enthusiastic about the opportunity of a lifetime. She counted the cost of what that really meant and enthusiastically embraced what God was saying to her. And I believe you guys have the same thing. I believe you want to do God's will. I believe you have that same enthusiasm, but there's things hindering you from exhibiting that enthusiasm. And we're going to talk about that today. I believe a lot of believers react the opposite way. I believe what we do is we allow the world to tell us what we should be happy about and what we shouldn't be happy about. I believe we need to go out there and tell them that you have nothing to say to me, but I have plenty to say to you. And then enthusiastically, I'm going to tell you about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you that He enthusiastically went to the cross to die for your sins. The only difference between you and me is that I enthusiastically embrace His suffering for me. Amen. You know God wants you to be excited about what He's doing in your life? Do you know that God gets excited when He's doing things in our lives? Do you know that God gets excited that He's up there figuring out, how can I bless Nikki today? She did this, this, and this. I want to bless her. I really want to bless her socks off. She comes to the women's meeting yesterday, and He blessed her socks off because even though she couldn't be there the whole time, He gave her what she needed for the day. And she gave that away. That's extraordinary. You're extraordinary. Because you didn't covet it, you gave it away. God is extraordinary. And because you gave that away, He's going to give you more. That's the whole principle of sowing and reaping. You know, in order for you to get more, you've got to give away what you got. If you don't give away, then guess what? You're not getting. That's completely opposite of what the world tells you. And I'm telling you, that principle is extraordinary. It is. You can't outgive God, but I'll tell you what, you can get with the program and start giving. Because then you're just like Him, and you're on this program in which He's going to keep pouring into you. If He knows that you're going to be willing to sow it and give it away, He's going to give you more. It may not be in a way that you think you should get it, but He's going to give you more. Because He's extraordinary. Now, I don't want to wear this extraordinary word out, but I want to drill into your spirits just how extraordinary you are. If you desire to do the will of God, and I believe that you do, then you're extraordinary. Each and every person in here is extraordinary. But you've got to be enthusiastic about it. You know, when we don't show that enthusiasm about what God is doing, and I'm enthusiastic about what God is about to do. He has shown me, it has come to this point in time, and now we are about ready to cross over into something even more awesome. We are going to cross over. Not one or two of us, all of us are going to cross over together. And that is awesome. God is going before us, He has prepared the way for us, but we need to mix our belief in faith and rest that He's going to do it. We can't manufacture this thing. If we can do it, we don't need God. And I'm telling you, what I'm believing God for, I need Him to do. I really do. And so do you. The other thing is that, number two, she was humble. In Luke 1:48, she states, "For He, God, has been mindful of the humble estate of His servant." Maidservant. "But from now on, all generations will call me blessed." She was humble. She understood that she didn't deserve to be used of God. You don't deserve anything but hell in being ordinary. To be extraordinary is an honor and a privilege to realize that, you know what, He wants to bless you not because of what you can do, because that's who He is. He wants to bless you. And Mary understood this. We are not owed anything. But as we remain humble, what's the scripture say? To the humble He gives grace and will elevate you in due time. I think about what has been going on in the last several years, how Irene has been working it in with the town in Parks and Rec. And the thing I've stated to every one of us, we need to remain humble. And we went into Parks and Rec, and we had our little church tent up the first year, and then the next year, God said, serve the community. And we did. We went in and we began to start serving all the vendors and stuff, and we helped them erect their stands or whatever they were doing. And we didn't ask for anything. And because of that, God gave us opportunity to open the festival with prayer. And this year, we've caught on to that vision. We've caught on that as we come together in unity at the tree lighting service, all of us couldn't be there for the whole time. Some of us couldn't be there for one night, but we were there the next night. But we were there in unity and in spirit. And because of that, God gave us a public acknowledgement. For those of us that were down there, Jim Bonner stated, and I believe this was God through him, telling the community that through our voluntary service, the Streams of Life was getting a public acknowledgement. And because of that, we had opportunity to share about the church with other individuals. Now, we don't know where that's going to go, but I believe as we maintain our humility and serve, God is going to lift us up. And he's doing that with us right now. Mary did the same thing. She understood that she wasn't going to run around and toot her own horn. And we know of a couple of cases where churches have come in and said, you know, we can do this. We can do that for the tree lighting service. We can have a nativity scene. We can have all that stuff. That's not what God wants. What is it that God wants? When we understand what our purpose in life is, we will understand that it is His purpose. First and foremost, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all this stuff will be added unto you. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do things that the world says you have to do. You've got to do what God says. And that's what makes us extraordinary. Because we are focusing our attention on doing what God says. He says, be holy as I'm holy. And that's what we're doing. We're giving our lives over to Him so that He can work through our lives to touch other people's lives. And Mary understood this. Do you know what your purpose in life is? Is it to be noticed, to have notoriety, to get married, to have a better job? Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not what your purpose is. Those things are called the cares of life. And Jesus said, those who are caught up in the cares of life fall away. Are you falling away from God, or are you falling more in love with God? Because as you fall more in love with God, you begin to see what your purpose is in God. And He may only ask one thing. He asked Mary one thing. Will you be the mother of the Holy Child? He asked Hosea one thing. Will you go from your farm and go and preach a message of repentance to Israel? And he fulfilled his purpose. Are you enthusiastic about this purpose that God has for your life? Are we remaining humble? Or are we exhibiting prideful attitude? Do we sound our own horns? Do we tell everybody what God's doing in our lives? You know, you don't have to tell them. They can see what's going on in your life. You don't have to be afraid of them examining you, because guess what? You're not perfect, and neither am I. But you're extraordinary. You're for a purpose. God has a purpose for your life and a plan for your life. It may be the best mom in the world. It may be the best dad in the world. And if that's the purpose, then fine. Do it to the best, because your purpose, believe it or not, is to glorify and give Him praise. That's why you were created. That's your purpose in life. Everything that you do, everything I do, should be for the praise and glory of God. To exalt His name. If it is less than that, then we need to talk to get you refocused into what your purpose is. You're extraordinary. And your purpose for life is extraordinary. It is not to live a debased lifestyle. You are more than that. You were created for awesome things. You were created from the very person who created everything and now dwells within you. That makes you extraordinary. 3, Mary decided to pay the price. The price to be a Christian is to cost you everything that you have and everything that you are. That's the price. But it can be given incrementally. God doesn't expect a full exchange right away. That's why we live in time and space. He needs to work on us. You are His trophy. When you accepted Jesus Christ, He took you, He embraced you, He dusted you off, He put you up on a trophy so that Satan could see His prize. You are the apple of His eye. That makes you extraordinary. You're not some pauper's kid. You are the kid of the King.
Hallelujah.
You are rich beyond knowledge and comparison. You have a royal calling for your life. And your life really starts when we enter in to the supernatural. That's why sowing and reaping is so important for us. Are you withholding what is already God's? You see, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. He owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. All the good things, all the bad things, and all the ugly things about you and me, He owns. But we have this problem about giving it to Him. I like my wicked heart. I want to keep it, Lord. I just love being wicked. Ooh. And God says, I'm going to get it. I'm going to change your heart. Absolutely. Why? Because He has an extraordinary amount of love for you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you endlessly. And everything that He does is for His love, so that you could witness His love. You may be saying, man, if this is God's love, I don't want any more of it because it's been pretty tough on me. Well, you know what? I find going through all that stuff that I've only fallen deeper in love with God because I found out what true love is. And it isn't loving the stuff. It isn't loving the job or the money or whatever. It's being obedient to God. It's being able to see, as Jesse put it, watching the next generation not have to stumble through the same things I went through, and the blessings come on them sooner. That's extraordinary to me. You see, no other God in this world makes that promise. Only our God does. He says, if you follow me, I'll bless you, your next generation, and your next generation, and your next generation, to 1,000 generations. If we follow Him. But He also says, I will curse you if you don't follow me, up to the third and even fourth generation. What He's saying is, I will utterly destroy the seed that is in your family if you refuse to follow me. But I will continue your seed to go on forever if you follow me. And He's the one that can do this. Think about Mary. She could have been stoned for accepting this invitation of having a child. In Hebrew culture, in those days, that the price of infidelity was stoning by death. Think about it. A young teenage girl, and a lot of our women today are falling into the same trap because no one knows how to truly love them, even through a bad experience. Think about what Mary was thinking. How am I going to explain this to my parents, that God made me pregnant? How am I going to explain this to my extended family and community? Because remember, the community lived together, so they were tight-knit. They knew what was going on. How was she going to explain this? Yeah, God made her pregnant. Yeah, right, huh? Yeah, there must have been something in the water. But think about it. How was she going to explain her pregnancy to Joseph, her betrothed? I know for me, I wouldn't bite into that apple. No, 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 no. Don't blame God for this pregnancy. Mm-mm. And I can say that because look at Joseph. Joseph, being a righteous man, was going to marry her and then put her away quietly. Here's a young girl who did an extraordinary thing, even at the penalty, facing death. Are you willing to face death for our God and King to be extraordinary? Remember, it's going to cost you everything you are and everything that you have, your life included. Or are we the type of people that's going to cringe back once something's asked of us? And I don't believe that is. I don't believe a person in this room is going to cringe back in fear. I just believe we need to surrender once and for all to walk in what God has called into our lives. That doesn't mean blind faith and blind obedience. That means discerning what God is saying for you and moving in those things that God has told you to do so that those blessings can come on and that He fulfill His will through your life. You see, He has a plan. We could be like the Fram commercial. You can pay me now, pay God now, or you can pay Him later. And the cost later is going to cost you even more. And to me, I've learned both ends. I refuse to do what God called, and it cost me a whole heck of a lot more. He had called me 3 years previous to my accident in which I had rolled the car over, crushing the car and almost killing my family. That was a heavy penalty to pay, to surrender my life to Him. When 3 years previous to that, I was in a car accident, head on, walked away from it, drove the car home, got my other car out and went to work that day. I knew it was God. I just wasn't willing to surrender. You've got to be willing to pay the price. And let me tell you, the price that you pay when you surrender totally is far less than the blessings that you receive because it's an extraordinary exchange. You have a life that's terminal. And when you exchange this terminal life, you are given eternal life. That's an extraordinary exchange. Nobody in their right mind would refuse that. And I'll tell you what, I got out of my mind and into my heart, and I received it. And finally, Mary trusted in the promises of God. Luke 1:45 says, "Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary took her faith and believed and moved out in this. You can't move in the things of God in my faith. My faith can help you get to a place, but you need to learn to cultivate your faith. What is God saying to you? Pastor, I need you to pray about this. But what's God saying to you? Do we need to pray about it or do we need to be obedient? See, obedience is better than sacrifice. And what we're willing to do is sacrifice than be obedient. Mary was obedient. She was extraordinarily obedient. She trusted in the promises of God. She knew her God. She didn't have to wait for all of her ducks to be in order. She didn't need to have the money to give to God. She didn't need to know all the answers about how this child was going to be taken care of, what was going to go on in this. All she knew was she was trusting God. All I know to do is trust God. When He speaks, I trust Him. I do what He says to do. And that's all we're asked to do. There's been much abuse in the church about the supernatural. Mary expected God to move in miraculous ways for her. When Herod wanted to kill the child, Joseph, through a dream, was told by an angel to go to Egypt. After Herod died, the angel came back, told him, okay, take the child back. These are miracles that God would go to extraordinary ways to get you to a place to fulfill the will that He has for your life in Him, to fulfill His plan. Well, I just don't have this job. I just don't have enough money. I just don't know what to do. Well, let me tell you, if you're waiting for all these things to fall into place, you'll never do the will of God. Because these things are what will keep you from fulfilling the will of God. Until I began to surrender my life, stop working a ton of overtime. Not that overtime, but I was a workaholic. When I wasn't working, I was involved in sports. I did everything I could to stay away from fulfilling the will of God for my life. Until I almost lost my family. What's it going to take for you to wake up and sample His extraordinary love for you? Mary was extraordinary. You can't play it safe in this. As I've said to the men, we're going to be risk takers. We're going to get out there and we're going to do some stuff that, you know what, we may end up in jail. Are you willing to do that for God? I am. Are you willing to take all the threats of the world and even other believers to stand on His righteousness and stand up for the innocent that do not have a voice? Mary did. Mary stood up and said, "Be it unto me." She exalted the Lord. She praised the Lord. Even before she entered into all the difficulties. Think about this young woman. She gave up her comfort for 9 months. She was carrying a child. Everywhere that she went, she rode on a donkey. That is not easy. I've tried riding on a donkey. I prefer a saddle on a donkey. And they didn't have them in those days. She gave birth to her son in a manger, which is an open barn. She wasn't there with family and friends. She was there with God. And His angels, Joseph. She's extraordinary. She gave up her comfort. She didn't care about that stuff. All she wanted to do was fulfill the will of God. And I believe that's in you too. I believe you want to fulfill the will of God in your life. I believe that you want to remain humble. But being humble is not being quiet. Being humble is exacting what you say to people by your actions and your words. Giving God the glory for everything. She counted the cost. And she said, "Be it unto me." Jesus said, "If you don't count the cost, you're not worthy of Him. You're not worthy of His kingdom." I didn't say it, He said it. I say you're extraordinary. You're worthy of His kingdom because it's contained within you. Do you just come here and pretend to praise God, or do you praise God? Is your heart open, or are you still shackled? You see, the difference between ordinary religion and being extraordinary in your relationship is you exhibit the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. I don't care if I'm in a prison, I'm still going to praise Him. I don't care if my head's going to get chopped off, I'm going to praise Him. Nothing's going to stop me from praising my God and my King. Even if my family have to witness my martyrdom, I'm going to praise Him. That's what I was created for, and I'm sold out for. And Mary did too. Each and every one of us have the spiritual potential. And if you haven't heard that tape, you need to go and listen to that tape. That spiritual potential is what will begin to make you extraordinary. Releasing that extraordinary spirit that is within you, out of you. Remember, it's not being ordinary, it's being extraordinary. It's going the extra mile. It's believing God for the impossible. Even when you can't see the answers are there. They're coming. It's not relying on what you see. It's believing by faith in the promises that God has said. Not what the world is saying and not what the devil is trying to get you to believe. It's what God says, and it settles the matter. What He says, that's it. Each and every one of us is extraordinary because He's given to us each different gifts and talents, abilities, different kinds of personalities, life experiences, and passions. But these passions and gifts and talents and experiences are to be used for His glory, not for ourselves. And that's where the church misses it. This is where the church gets itself in trouble, because it thinks it has the right, pride, has the right to express these things for themselves, for their glory, for what they want. And it is for God's glory that He has given us these experiences, these gifts, these talents. They're to be used extraordinarily for winning souls into His kingdom. And Mary brought in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why she's extraordinary. Christmas is coming, and Christmas is the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And on Christmas, we give gifts to one another, to those who we love, or have touched our hearts in a special way. And even on birthdays, we usually give gifts to those who are having a birthday as a celebration of their love for the whole year. But what is it that God's asking you to give Him? Have you thought about that on Christmas? Or are you so caught up in, you know what, I'm not tithing to God because I got to get Christmas presents for my kids. I'm not going to do this because Christmas is important to me. You know what? You missed the whole thing of Christmas. The Christmas isn't about the gifts you give to your kids. Christmas is about the gift that you receive from Him. What are you going to give Him in return? That's the question. Jesus counted the cost, and He saw the joy passed across. He saw you and me coming to Him. He saw you and me doing extraordinary things because we took our faith and seized it and ran with it and believed God for the impossible at the time when no one else would believe us. And this is what Mary did. Nobody else believed, but she did. And when she shared that news, Elizabeth believed. And you know what? It starts. One here, one there, and they start catching fire. They too begin to start living this extraordinary life that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, the best gift you can give Jesus is total surrender to Him. That's what He wants. That's what He's asking each and every one of us. That's what Mary gave Him, was a total surrender to His will. Believe it or not, that's the only thing He's asking. He's asking you to give your whole self to Him. Don't keep anything in reserve. Give your whole self to Him. Because you see, His desire for you and for me is to be what He created us to be. Extraordinary. If you want to be extraordinary, come up here. I'll pray with you. If you're fighting with something in your life that's keeping you from being extraordinary, come up here. I'll pray with you. And I guarantee God will hear your prayer, God will honor, and God will do supernatural things in your life. Amen. That person who's been bugging you. You don't need Jesus. You're turning into a religious fanatic. Not only do I need Jesus, so do you. If you're tired of living just being ordinary, then come forward. I'll pray, I'll lay hands on you, and God is going to change you like He changed me. If not, then you're going to pay a price far greater than what you think you're paying right now. And I'll have compassion on you.